Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Welcome to From Carpool to College. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Haritz.
And today I have a gift for Tara.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Is it a gift? Is it with, I should give you some Brioski and Tums because you might get agita.
Yeah.
This is a gift for Tara. This episode is a gift for every family who has a junior or senior in high school, and for my younger families too. Come back to this episode because this is what comes next. After May 1st and you've deposited, you decided on a college, yay, you think, woohoo, stress over. Well, guess what? New to-do list unlocked, Tara. Mm-hmm. And as I have two boys, Joey and Alex, ages 22 and about to be 21, God help me. This is very fresh in my mind. I'm going to show you, Tara, my laptop. What does this say here? You don't have to read the name of the college, but, oh, you could, because we've talked about it before. Don't read the last name. What does that say?
Alexander Dashboard and More.
Okay, so what I did was, and I'm going to share this with my families, I highly recommend you make a Google Doc with your kids' information to organize everything college for next steps. There are so many steps that you have to cover after you say yes and before your kid starts school. So in today's episode, we're going to examine a whole bunch of ticket items that what you need to know. So for parents, this is not to stress you out, but I also want you to be able to understand that there's a lot of research that your kid has to be also going into some things to look at. So let's start with the first thing I did with my kids is I created a digital dashboard. Think of it as a family command center. Mm-hmm. I opened up a Google Doc, and on that Google Doc, I wanted to centralize just one hub for all stakeholders, me, my kid, and my ex-husband. So many of us, Tara, we're a statistic over here on this side of the table, divorced parents.
Yeah.
Which I would like to do an episode or a series of on being a divorced parent in the college admissions and college planning process, because right. That is a circle of hell. And a lot of people don't talk about it. I lived it. Mm-hmm. And it's really, there's a lot to know. So saying that, what I created was, because let's be real. If my marriage in the past didn't have good communication, why would I think magically that communication would get better mm-hmm. now that there's a divorce?
Right.
So what's in my control is how I handle things. And that's with class and dignity. It's one of my mantras. And also with my type A organization. So I created this Google document. And the first thing on it has my kid's name, my kid's student number for his new school, for his college, and I made him write down the password. So I have his new email, his login information, so we can all get in if we need to, for now.
Yeah, yeah.
And also because my kid was a space cadet, he still is actually, bless his heart, that if he forgot his password, because a lot of the kids just save their password.
And they don't write it down anywhere, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I also wrote down what his mailing address would be. So I have the mailing address. Oh, what's it doing? I have his mailing address there as well. And I also have on that list what Alex's Gmail was for his college applications. Because when we did college applications and scholarship search, we created a new email for him. Because as we know, all the spam and all the mail that comes was just insane. So mm-hmm. you're probably in the thick of that.
Yeah.
With all mm-hmm. of the mail that you get. So that's what we have on there. And we have his password there too. The next line item I have on this digital dashboard is immunization proof sent via snail mail on June 21st, 2003. So just know, Tara, you're going to have to gather all the information about your daughter's immunizations. And you're going to have to make sure that gets sent over to the school. For us, we had to get a physical as well. Mm-hmm. So you may have to book a physical. That sometimes takes a long time. Okay. Right? So she's freaking out already. I know she is, but no, this is good information. So the also what I have on this digital dashboard is the FAFSA. I have my son's username for FAFSA. I have my username for FAFSA. My ex-husband didn't put his, but I didn't put my password there. But there is Alex put his password there. He also put his save key. So there's just a lot of information here that you need at your fingertips because everything becomes time sensitive. Mm-hmm. Is the FAFSA in? Is it updated? Is it accurate? So everything there. I also included, what is this? We changed passwords. So we made it. I took some student loans out. I had a New Jersey student loan. So I had that information. I had, I didn't write down my password, but I write down like clues to my password because I forget too. So I do have saved here a link to the master promissory note when it was signed. Both of my boys did dual credits in high school. Mm-hmm. So I have the transcripts from the colleges that issued the dual enrollment credits. So I have that ready. So when they had to register for schools. But my point is, I can go on and on, but today we're going to go through a couple of the things that families need to think about to prepare for that transition to college to get your kid physically across there. So digital dashboard, highly recommend. Share it with your ex-spouse, and it's a nice gesture. They may not even respond to it,
mm-hmm.
like mine. but that's okay. Like, again, like what's in my control? Let me communicate and organize everything. Because when stuff goes down and your kid's at school, they might need to know it. Like Alex had to get onto his student loans to do some kind of disbursement or whatever. Like he was mm-hmm. able to go to the dashboard, Alex.
Right. So that's good. That's good. It's a one document to just refer to versus rifling through papers emails and whatnot.
Right. One ring to rule them all. Like in Lord of the Rings, one doc to rule them all.
Yeah.
So some other items that might be appropriate for different families, any key contacts, emergency numbers, just so your kid has that information too. Yes, it's on their phone, but Put it all.
I was just thinking, like, if you have family members or friends that are in the area where your student is going to school, that would be good to have on there too, like a local contact, right?
Absolutely.
And could you talk a little bit, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but with regards to physicians and, you know, you have your pediatrician, right?
Maybe,
and also therapists. So talk to me about if your student goes out of state. They can't.
Yes.
They can't.
No.
Okay. So talk to us about
right.
that.
So if your kid has a great therapist, let's say your kid is in New Jersey and they have a great therapist and it's a great relationship and your kid decides to go to school in upstate New York and that therapist does not have a license to practice in upstate New York, that therapist cannot continue Zoom therapy sessions unless they have the New York license. Mm-hmm. So wherever your kid is, that is the license that your kid's therapist must hold in order to continue Zoom sessions. Good to know.
Yeah, it is good to
know. So pre-gaming, if you're going to continue therapy, which I highly recommend, don't cold turkey anything, especially during these big moves, you might want to start shopping for a local therapist. Now, every school has counseling centers, and they're really amping those up because this new generation needs it.
As yeah,
we know,
for sure.
They do. They need it. So
in some of the schools, they have, you know, depending on the building, as soon as you walk in, that Office of Accessibility or Counseling Services are the first room.
Yeah.
As soon as you walk in.
Yeah, the wellness center, counseling
easily
center.
Easily accessible, yeah.
They're mm-hmm. awesome. Schools are doing a great job. They're putting a lot of money and time and energy and great people around it. Never enough. It's never enough.
Yeah.
But it's a start. So I also recommend that as you visit on Accepted Students Day or after you say yes to the dress and you deposit, you go back to that school. Do a walk around and find where the counseling office is. Find where the health office is. Find out where that, like, what they call it, the infirmary or the health office or wherever your kid goes when they get the stomach flu. Because you want to know where that is on campus before you're sick. right? You'll thank me. Yeah, you'll thank me. So, so a couple of things you want to think about after, you know, between the time, you know, in May versus, you know, May through August, we're saying, if your kid has a 504 or an IEP, you want to make sure you're getting into, you're getting all those documents from the high school. You are getting all those documents from the high school to the college. Your kid's case manager does not do that. Your kid's school counselor does not do that. It's actually your kid who's the one who's supposed to be doing it, which brings me to FERPA waiving. So FERPA, F-E-R-P-A, we talked about this in the past in other episodes, Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Parents, if you call a school, let's say your kid goes to St. Bonaventure University, and you parent, mom, dad, you are not FERPA waived, that school, no matter where you are, will not be able to tell you anything about your kid. So your kid has to go into the student portal and click, yes, I FERPA waive, I waive my right. You can talk to Tracy Amadeo. You can talk to Tara Horitz. You can talk to, like, list, you, your kid needs to list your parent, the parent's name and their email, and provide the phone number so that when you call or you email, they, you are cleared to not just talk about my kid goes there, but also talk about health records and academic records and finance too, because my kid pulled a fast one on me in Charleston, Mr. Joey. He FERPA waived me for finance only.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So when I emailed to request a transcript, they're like, well, you're only FERPA waived for paying the tuition bill. I'm like, well, ain't that something? Oh, I was furious. So saying that, parents, learn from me. Learn from me.
And we have to FERPA waive for Common App, because we did that already. But this is a different one because it's separate for each, or for the school that your child will go to.
Right. So you have to FERPA waive for the Common App when your kid is applying. When your kid is applying, you have to FERPA waive through the Common App that you are kid. The kid is allowing the school, the high school, to talk to the college. Mm-hmm. And the college is saying it's okay for us to inquire about this kid and in an academic domain. It's very specific to the application process. So right. So the kid
doesn't carry over to
no, right. But because the kid is now FERPA is now waiving, is now granting his or her permission mm-hmm. for the college to talk to parent. So it's a new relationship. So it's a new action step. So Office of Accessibility, you want to make sure that you're getting your IEP and your 504 down there. And then your kid is going to be attending an orientation.
Before we get to that,
yes.
Before the orientation, which is usually a little bit later, right?
That's, oh, yeah. Down.
Yeah. Okay. The Office of Accessibility can mm-hmm. happen once your kid accepts, which could be during the senior school year. Yeah.
Yep.
And there's so much there. And we are going to do an episode on that just to go over the different items that, you know, will help your student if that is part of their plan for the upcoming year.
Yeah.
More than you could ever imagine.
Oh,
and
right.
Some schools, I'm sure, do it better than others, but.
Yeah. And there's, you know, by law, every school has to have an Office of Accessibility Services. And there is a process that is led by the student. And there is, they have to waive their rights to allow parents to talk, to parents to be part of that conversation. And there's a lot of steps involved. Because it's not just a gimme. It's not just this is what you're receiving. So there's, you know, and it's a lot of legal stuff too. That's why we're not touching it too much now. But certainly, parents, put it on your radar. Mm-hmm. If your kid has an IEP, tap into your kid's case manager for some resources on next steps. They're going to have a lot of great information on what step-by-step, what you need to be doing. Your high schools know this, and they're well prepared to mm-hmm. help bridge those services, because your high school faculty team wants your kid to succeed just as much as you do. Like, we are all cheering for your kid. So we do have resources there. But yeah, good point, Tara, for sure. There's a lot. So what do we get up to? So now you are coming to the summer and you are at orientation.
Okay.
And you are going to kid. The kid has a whole online portal that was just opened up to them. And in that online portal is to register for an orientation. And let me tell you, Tara, they book up fast. And you want to be going to one in person if you can. I'm okay. Old school, but they do offer some that are virtual. And if you have to do virtual, that's fine, but certainly highly recommend in person. You want to click to reserve your spot. Kids, back in our day, when the pterodactyls flew over, we would go in person and sit in a classroom and take a placement test for math and for reading, and they would place us appropriately in our leveled classes. For me, it was remedial math, but higher level English. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Take the good with the bad.
Uh-huh.
For your kid, you have to, the student has to place into appropriately into college level reading or math. How do you know that? Yes, your kid got in, but every kid's a little different level. So they do have AccuPlacer testing. They'll have something called a Right Placer, or they'll have different tests to take. And a lot of times it's online. And there's software that will watch the kid on camera take the exam.
Yes. And any sudden movement, right? Any
yes.
sudden eye movement or...
Or if you go off screen
seems
for something.
Easier to do it in person to me.
I know. Same. So I don't even know if that's an issue, if it's an option though, because the testing centers at schools are tight.
Yeah.
So I know the one that I work with here locally, they only have like 42 seats at a time to take the test. And that's for a school of like 9,000 in and
wow.
out. So yeah, okay. that's the thing. So a lot of the kids do these testings online, but that's a thing. If your kid took an SAT, you could use your SAT score for placement. So maybe you didn't use your SAT score as a tool to get into college, but you could use your SAT or ACT score for placement, for showing, hey, at least I'm at this beginning level. And then you could take a test that would just be more for refining at a higher level. That is very typical of math. We want our kids to clear for college algebra. So that is all on the back end in your kid's laptop sitting there after you deposit. And they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sits there.
Right.
And your kid's overwhelmed. And your kid needs to set up their email and their student management system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do you guys use? What is your daughter's school used? A PowerSchool or
The high
Genesis?
School. The
yeah.
high school?
Yeah.
PowerSchool.
PowerSchool. Okay. Mm-hmm. PowerSchool is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
We use Genesis where I work. I've seen PowerSchool. I've seen Aspen as another one.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a student management portal that your kid, that your high school uses. Well, guess what? There's one for college mm-hmm. as well. So there's an electronic portal database, if you will, that will manage the records part. Then there's a separate one that will manage almost like a Google Classroom where it will be the courses. Mm-hmm. And I think Professor Tom talked about this. It's mm-hmm. like Blackboard, it's called, or
yes.
Canvas.
Yes.
So your kid who just got accepted to school is now having to put in make their passwords for this.
Right.
Oh, and you know what? Two-factor authorization.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what that means?
Uh-huh.
What does it mean?
Well, in my district, it means when you log in, you better also have, if you're doing it from a laptop, you better have your cell phone, because you have to then go to your cell phone to click on YouTube or click on Google Photos or something so that you can then get in that
right,
way and it authenticates that it's you and then you can get in.
So if my kid is at a school that has two-factor authorization
mm-hmm.
and they were kind enough to share their password with me, it's a fake because I still can't get into their account unless my kid is on the phone and gets that stupid number so I could put
code.
It in the code. And guess what? They don't, just by some miracle, they happen to not be around their phone.
Yep.
But when you're trying to log in to see grades.
That's right.
So just FYI, parents, on that one. So, go ahead.
Sorry.
I'm giving you a lot. And
yeah.
there's a lot going on now.
Yeah. At the same time, after your students are admitted, they usually have lots of emails coming in from the school offering live sessions for certain things. Live sessions for incoming freshmen to speak to current students. Live sessions for parents. There's all kinds of social media sites that are directly related to the school that can help with that as well. I think that some of the live sessions are great. Keep an eye on those because you can scroll through and go through the website of the school, but to actually have an opportunity to speak to someone and listen to what they have to say is a little bit more valuable sometimes. And you can get things, you know, a little bit easier, more accessible versus trying to find it on a website.
Oh, yeah. And similarly, parents, I'm going to throw a nugget at you. I'm kind of embarrassed that I do this, but I do this in the name of research for the podcast and for the practice. On Facebook, there are often, always, every college has the parents of the class of like 2026 for the college, the class of 2031, whatever. Parents, you could join that Facebook group. No one's checking the records. People are just letting you into these groups. It is a great way, parents, to get a real feel for what it's like to have a kid at that school. Even for my parents who have sophomores and juniors right now, if you want to maybe experiment and say that you have a kid on campus, you can absolutely join those parent groups. Just be low profile about it. Don't be obnoxious about it. But it's a great resource. It is a little neurotic at times.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yes.
It's
and
a
you
lot.
Have to, you do have to filter a little bit of it out and, you know, kind of take it for what it's worth. But, you know, there may be some things that will stick with you that will be valuable down the road. And certainly you may be able to connect with some people or good questions that are being asked that then you can ask for the school or the university that your child eventually, you know, winds up attending.
Yeah, it was great for like carpools. Like back in our day, there was a bulletin board for carpools. Like when I was at West Virginia, there was a bulletin board like need a ride to Jersey such and such weekend. And like you just put your, it's crazy. It's like things have changed so much. But these parent Facebook groups are fantastic. They'll talk to you about where to stay and when parent weekend is, because Tara, you're going to have a parent weekend, you know.
Yeah.
And
I just read one of these this morning and it was, these are the schools my child is considering. My child doesn't like to go to parties or drink. What is the best school? So that was like, well, come on, I have to read them.
Yeah, you have to. That's a whole episode.
And you take away from it the fact that it's everywhere. It's
you know, yeah. Oh.
The level of the emotions that the wave that I rode when I read the comments. And then in the end, you realize, okay, it's everywhere. Have those conversations with your kids and it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yep.
But some of them are, you know, a little bit more entertaining than others.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So parents, you know, you have a lot of resources there, but your kid is also still they're being onboarded. They're trying to put together their schedule. It's usually 15 credits in the fall semester. You will be getting that tuition bill. When you get that tuition bill, please look for two things. I wish someone told me this. There is a line that says health insurance, and you want to make sure if you already have health insurance for your kid, which most of us do, thank God, you want to waive the health insurance because automatically it's going to charge you between $2,000 and $3,000 unless you waive it. And you only have to like August 1st to do it.
Is it per year or per?
Every year.
Per year. So you have to remember to do that every year.
Set the reminder on your phone.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. It'll bring you to like a website. You have to put in what your insurance is and whatever. But it you know, if you don't do it, parents, you're getting dinged for like $2,000. It's just, it's crazy. The other thing you want to look out for is some schools have like textbook programs. And I got to tell you, like, again, parents, when we were back in school, it was books. And I know I shared an art history book with like three other people. So we did these book share things. Those days are over because everything is courseware. Mm. I'll say it again, courseware. It's like hardware, but it's courses and it's electronic. And it's not just an ebook. It's a whole electronic platform with, yes, the electronic textbook, but also embedded quizzes mm-hmm. that are mandatory or extra tutoring tools or PowerPoints. And very often colleges will say, listen, just pay for the courseware through the tuition bill, not separately, and there's a little bit of a discount. Mm. So some courses will have the courseware embedded in that. Just take a look at it. In my experience, from as a parent and also in working in higher ed with my early college programs, it is a better deal just to pay it with the tuition. So just keep an eye out for that. Those are the ebooks. And again, that's going to change every semester too. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that. You also, a lot of schools, I don't know if Tara, if the school that you guys were looking at has freshmen could have cars on campus.
I don't believe so.
Okay, so Alex's school, yes. Joey's school, no. And Alex brought his car up there, and he didn't need it. But he was supposed to get a sticker for his car that, I don't know how much it cost, but it was a little bit of money, nothing crazy. He neglected to get the sticker for his car, the permit. And Parents Weekend, I came up, and there were 4 or 5 soggy parking tickets on his windshield. And of course I got to the school early and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll just walk around campus, it's so pretty, and I know he's still sleeping, and I'm like, let me just check his car out. He had 2 flat tires and 4 parking tickets. So parents, learn from me, get AAA and make sure your kid's getting that damn parking sticker. There you go. By the way, I love this school.
Yes.
I went into security. I walked right to security with the soggy parking tickets. And I'm like, can we do something about this? And I was able, they wouldn't do it for me. He had to do it. But he says, if you send your kid in, we'll take off all of the parking tickets.
Wow, amazing.
And it was $50 a ticket.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah. So, but that's my beautiful little school over there. They're a gem. But yeah, I'm telling you these parents, these things, because these are all the weird Middle Earth. Is that my second Lord of the Rings?
It is.
Reference today. So a lot of Middle Earth things. Do we cover our list, Tara? What am I missing here? I said AAA. We're not being endorsed by AAA, but if AAA wants to sponsor us, we love you.
Sure.
Send it over. If your kid is using their car on campus, obviously, besides the parking permits, you want to make sure your insurance isn't going to expire. Get the insurance cards, get to them, make sure it's registered, make sure their driver's license is, not going to expire. Passport is a good idea. Real ID now.
Yep.
That's a whole nother nightmare. I actually took pictures of my kids' driver's licenses. Do you have pictures of your daughter's driver's license? That came in really handy. I took a picture of it front and back. It's on my phone. And I've used that many times, especially when someone lost his wallet or just, misplaced the wallet and needs to go somewhere. So I would zap the pictures. Like, if you get pulled over, at least you have a digital copy of your driver's license. Am I revealing too much about myself?
No, this is great.
Life 360?
Life 360 or share my location, right? Those are good.
Yeah. There's mixed feelings on that. Different parents and different camps on that. I am pro Life 360 as my thing just goes off right now. Kind of funny. But those, we threw a lot at you and we wanted to. We want you to know this information, again, because here at From Carpool to College, we never want you to have to say, oh my gosh, I wish I knew then what I know now. So, everything from looking up when Parents Weekend was last year to getting that Airbnb now before, you could always cancel it. Mm-hmm. So little nuggets like that, we want you to be able to enjoy yourselves and support your kids, and also understand that your kid, you're changing your role. No, you're not changing your role as a parent. You're changing your game as a parent. You're changing your vibe from, I don't know from what, but you're more of a mentor now when your kid is away in college. You're more Yoda. Mm-hmm. You're more of imparting that wisdom rather than rolling up your sleeves, and it's tough. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, it's a difficult transition.
So we are here for you. We hope that this episode, though it was kind of a lot of rapid fire and giving you a lot of information, come back to it. Come back to this for sure. If your kid is just a ninth grader now and you're listening to this, bookmark this. Come back to us. You will thank us, because here at From Carpool to College, we never want you to have to say, I wish I knew then what I know now. So thanks for listening today. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And Tara Harris.
And we will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to From Carpool to College. We never want parents to say, I wish I knew then what I know now. If today's conversation gave you clarity or direction, we invite you to explore more at FromCarpoolToCollege.com. And if your family is looking for personalized college and career planning support, visit AcademicMentoringLLC.com to learn how we guide students and their families through this process with intention and strategy. From Carpool to College is proud to be a member of the Forward Ed Network, amplifying conversations that support students, families, and educators. As you navigate what's ahead, remember, you don't have to do it alone.